I rise today in support of my amendment to defund the National Endowment of Democracy. We've learned that this organization has engaged in global censorship, domestic propaganda, and regime change politics. It has worked to crush populist movements, fuel color revolutions, and run off-the-books operations with plausible deniability.
Hardworking Americans shouldn't be forced by their government to contribute to causes that they find repugnant. And yet, stunningly, 81 Republican members of the House of Representatives voted with all the Democrats tonight to keep that funding stream going.
Raw, unfiltered treason, and why that is, becomes apparent when we reveal the architects behind this soft coup. Investigations spearheaded by Data Republican and Mike Benz have ripped the veil off of the new pluralists.
This is CIA Director Bill Casey. Obviously, we, the CIA, should not get out in front of the development of such an organization, nor do we wish to appear to be a sponsor or advocate. Nevertheless, the need appears real, and I believe our national fabric for dealing with many issues and problems be well served by the creation of NED.
Led in part by figures like Stephen Hines, president of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Hines spilled the beans, laying out their blueprint to reinvent American governance from the ground up through the new pluralists.
We went on a listening tour, and we listened to Americans in 50 communities across this country in very diverse settings and with very divergent points of view. And we came away from that convinced that our democracy needs not only to be reformed, but really, in a way, reinvented, reimagined for the kinds of challenges we face in the 21st century.
That unholy 2017 alliance of Soros, Koch, Rockefeller, Ford, and other elite foundations pumping billions into a so-called bridging divides scam.
We have proof that NED actually was a part of deplatforming President Trump, which I don't think the president would take kindly to Republicans supporting this effort.
Let me tell you where your tax dollars are really going. Where they have been going is to pressure advertisers to demonetize and suppress American political speech by naming the 10 riskiest sites to include the New York Post, the Federalist, Newsmax, The Blaze, The Daily Wire, Real Clear Politics, Reason, One American News Network, The American Spectator, and the American Conservative. Mr. Speaker, 98% of the political donations coming from the National Endowment for Democracy go to the Democrat Party. This is your taxpayer dollars paying for socialists and communists to subvert the American system.
What sounds like feel-good civic education, national service, election reform, and trusted information is really a full-spectrum soft coup. A coup infiltrating schools to crush populism.
We also partner with institutions at Stanford and more than 100 organizations working on the front lines of this national challenge.
The real problem here is when Trump won in 2016, this same foreign policy establishment that was set up in large part to wage the Cold War found a new global menace, which was the global rise of populist parties.
You suddenly have an entire sort of industry of open source intelligence analysts emerge who some of them then go to work for platforms directly. Some found their own research groups. Some are based in universities. Some work in the private sector. Some of the nonprofit. But they're all hunting for, you know, online, you know, disinformation campaigns, troll farms, just other forms of digital propaganda.
This engineered uniparty convergence shreds the old left-right lines to serve supranational overlords, targeting outfits like Turning Point USA as threats, cozying up across the aisle for technocratic priorities like social justice mandates and centralized information warfare, and quietly capturing institutions in a slow-motion subversive overthrow where Congress is wielded like a disposable tool. Time is slowly running out to wake up before their $33 billion a year, 215,000 employee machine dismantles the last shreds of American sovereignty in favor of a managed post-populist dystopia, commonly known as the New World Order. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
G-Man! All the free-flowing methylene blue is now mine!
No way, you evil scum. Methylene blue is for everyone!
Order Methylene Blue at the AlexJonesStore.com.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at the AlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all on board with us today. A lot happening over the weekend that we're going to catch you up on, of course. So it's good to have you all with us. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you had a non-violent weekend. I hope you didn't attend any protests. But if you were attending church services, you actually might have been interrupted by left-wing terrorists looking to take over the church with their obnoxious Marxist rhetoric. We'll get to that story in just a little bit. But we've got an incredible lineup of two independent journalists joining the show today, and I'm very excited about this. Ken Silva will be joining the program because he's breaking down a lot of stories over at Headline USA. But specifically, he's been following the ADL to see what they're up to these days. As many of you guys know, the FBI director said that they were no longer working with the ADL. But the ADL seems to say there's like an avenue of communication where they're turning over communications of what people say on social media straight to the agency. Now, obviously, we've been waiting to see what the details of that are. I have not seen the FBI respond to those claims. But we'll get to that with Ken in just a bit. I'll also be joined by Jorge Ventura. Many of you guys are probably like, where's that guy been? He spent some time over the corporate media world, and he's jumping back onto the independent journalism side of things. And it'll be exciting news to have him on the program today. It's been a long time since I've been able to catch up with my good friend, and he's been on the ground in Minneapolis. And it's been a brutal one. I think he said it's like zero right now over Minneapolis, and it's also very windy. So he's doing his best to keep the heat in Minneapolis. But Jorge Ventura will be joining us in just a bit. He also was outside that hotel, which apparently was telling federal agents to get on up out of here. So he'll bring us the latest report on that. So a lot to discuss. But let's bring things to home base because, folks, Nick Sorter, everyone knows Nick Sorter has a Sunday show on InfoWars. He is a great human being, an ally in this fight, and he doesn't really back down. Well, Nick Sorter found himself in kind of a bit of a scruffle when a left-wing terrorist decided to steal his camera. We're going to play that clip for you in a little bit. I just want to remind our audience, though, I don't know if you saw the headlines popping up all over the web. 1,500 active duty service members are being prepared to potentially be deployed to Minnesota. So just keep that in mind. If you're wondering why that is, well, then in clip one, we're going to make it very, very obvious because Nick Sorter has been getting repeatedly assaulted by these left-wing terrorists. And one of them decided to, and just so happens to look like a Somalian woman, possibly, or I shouldn't assume the gender, Somalian person, went up to Nick Sorter and grabbed his phone while he was in his vehicle. The video is infuriating. Take a listen.
Just tell her to give him the camera back.
Nadima! Give him the camera!
What happened, Nick?
They just stole my camera.
Right out of your hand while you're in the car?
That's what the f*** you wanted, right? That's the f*** you wanted, right?
That's what you did.
Man, listen, motherfucker. Get the f*** out of here.
My daughter.
Coward.
Mom,
what the f*** are you, a coward?
You have to leave.
Did you call 911?
Did anybody call 911?
Have Kevin do it.
We got it all on video.
We're not Nazis.
Yeah, Nazis.
We're not Nazis and we're not racist. Damn Hitler. I'm not racist. I condemn all racism.
God, you fucking Nazi.
I condemn all racism.
Why are you here?
We were driving through and we got followed. You guys followed us.
No, we're following you because who are you?
It doesn't matter. We're allowed to be here. It's the United States of America. Why do we have to leave?
What?
We're not leaving until we get the camera. You want us to leave? Give us the camera. Call your friend. Get the camera back.
And we'll leave.
Who took the camera?
Who took the camera? One of you guys want to scream racism, but yet you're treating him like this. Why? Why? Racism can go both ways.
Yeah, racism could go both ways. And they are exactly that. A bunch of racist hacks on the streets. Thieves as well. The FBI saying that they're on it, whatever that means. I'm sure they will get to the bottom of this. But the reality of it is we got the plates. There is a person of interest, I should say, that social media has flagged. Now I'll spare you of her face in case it's not the actual person. Because you got to just be careful with that, a little cautious until there actually is an arrest. But many accounts on social media are flagging the so-called Somalian woman who allegedly snatched the camera out of Nick Sorter's hands. Now, Nick Sorter, obviously, someone who is peaceful until they go for him. And when I saw the video, I had to put the phone down because I was too afraid to watch what could happen, right? Because Nick is obviously holding on to the vehicle as this woman's taking off. She's driving on a sidewalk, clearly doesn't care about anyone's life. And again, by the way, these are the same people who are protesting for Renee Good, who apparently wasn't trying to cause harm. But here they are again using their vehicle as a weapon to plow down a sidewalk. But Nick Sorter tried to flag police, and Minneapolis police are a bunch of cowards. They're cucked. They are losers who can't sit there and do their jobs without approval from the Marxists who are trying to tell them not to, I guess. The reality of it is Minneapolis PD is an embarrassment to their people. And they're not doing anything about this. In fact, Nick Sorter went up to a cop that he saw on the streets and tried to flag them about what happened to him. And that cop really was just like, get out of here, kid. I mean, that was literally the response. Take a listen to clip two.
For the car, but you guys got to do us a favor and stay out of this area. All right, we don't want anything else escalating to this point again. We got a lot of reports.
I understand we get attacked
and assaulted. By the way, they tried to steal my camera earlier, and we're the ones told to leave.
Like, I'm not justifying what they did, but we're trying to keep the peace at the end of the day. And the bottom line is, you guys obviously aren't from the area.
But it's like if I'm a woman and I get raped for wearing tight jeans, and it's like, well, you shouldn't have been there. It's
but that's what we're saying.
We're being told to leave when we're the ones who got attacked. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the ones who got attacked, so you'd expect the officer to at least have some decency, possibly get out of his vehicle to have a conversation with them, but no, they can't do that in Minneapolis because they're being held hostage by their Marxist leaders. And the reality of it is they are a bunch of cowards. Why would you allow these thugs to go around and snatch cameras out of individuals' hands, commit acts of violence, and then you're going to sit there and just say, oh, well, you don't live here, so you probably should get out? Get out? Minneapolis is an absolute dumpster, and it's really unfortunate, but the reality of it is I have no aspiration ever even going there because they're a bunch of just losers. I mean, imagine that. They've sacrificed several times their city to the far left-wing terrorists. They never fight back because they're afraid of them. The Minneapolis police chief, Brian O'Hare, is another loser, coward, whatever you want to call him these days. This is the same guy who apologized if he offended any Somalians because, well, you can't offend a Somalian population if you're in Minneapolis by speaking the truth. So he's trying to sit here and make the case that ICE is actually the issue here, not the left-wing terrorists that are terrorizing individuals on the streets who are simply just trying to drive around, walk on sidewalks. No, not them. He's actually blaming it all on ICE. Take a listen to clip three and what he told 60 Minutes last night.
Administration officials are adamant that this action that they are undertaking in Minneapolis right now is making this city safer.
Targeted, precise, pre-planned operations on violent offenders. That is a good thing. But I'm concerned that people in the administration don't actually understand the reality of what's happening on the street.
Chief O'Hara told us the city's 911 system is overwhelmed by complaints about immigration enforcement.
What are you seeing?
Seeing multiple calls of people who have been subjected to tear gas, pepper spray.
We need more water.
At least one case, a person was removed from a vehicle and the car wasn't even placed in park and it was rolling down the roadway.
That's the personal problem, dude. That's a personal problem. Oh, you're mad because you got maced. So what caused you to get maced? What caused you to get maced? I'd probably say you're probably acting like an animal. And as he previously said, we played a clip for you last week, these protests are unlawful. So we're not going to sit here and pretend like federal agents are the ones in the wrong. No, they're being stalked, they're being harassed, they're being assaulted. And then the local PD doesn't want to help. Why? Well, because the mayor instructed him not to. In fact, the mayor instructed Minneapolis PD to fight federal agents when they come to their neighborhoods. No, seriously, he did. He did. That's what Mayor Jacob Fry really wants. He really wants there to be a good old fight. Problem is he's not going to be the one to ball up his fists and go after these people. No. He won't. We're talking about a coward who has zero fight in him. Clip four, he is now claiming that the only way for peace to exist in Minneapolis right now is if ICE leaves. Take a listen.
The second these ICE agents leave the city, I'm telling you, you're going to have calm in Minneapolis and you will continue to see the great comeback that we had been experiencing. Let us get back to that comeback. Let us live in peace. Let us have businesses that are open and daycares where you don't need to escort staff to and from. Let us live in a place where, you know, I mean, look, in Minneapolis, we'll stand up. If we have to sled down ice hills to get to a protest, we'll do that. If we've got to make sure that people are escorted to the grocery store, you know, we'll do that. But truthfully, we want to get back to a place where we can just love on our city, do our daily activities, just like.
Ugh, love on our city. Dude's a creeper, a real, real creeper. No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to sit here and allow illegal invaders to just take over cities and then our federal agents back out. See, this is what President Trump was elected for. He was elected to clear out the filth in these cities. And so he's doing just that. And I'm so fed up with all of these politicians pretending like ICE isn't actually going out there and getting the worst of the worst. They're trying to. And the reality of it is Democrats love rapists. They love them. There's no other way to see it. Because why? Well, they keep defending them. They keep trying to protect them. When they sit here and say, oh, no, ICE isn't getting the worst of the streets, they're lying to you, but it's all intentional. It's meant intentionally to deflect the attention away from the criminals because these are their future voters. These are their future voters. And so now that they're sitting back and watching all of this, they have to play the victim role. That's all they have. That's all they have. They don't have a factually correct argument. The people of the United States do not stand with them. Why? Well, because they elected Donald Trump. Donald Trump is probably one of the most mass deportation pro, I guess I don't even know what the nickname would be, presidents we've ever had. Barack Obama obviously taking the cake, but President Trump we're hoping could clear these people out of our country. But now Democrats see a future voting base, and that's the reason why they've gone all in on illegals. Even the rapists. And if you don't believe me, well, all you have to do is listen to clip five, because yesterday, an ICE agent was pleading with protesters, leave us alone, stop blowing your horn, we're trying to get a rapist off the streets. But what's their response? What you'd expect from these left-wing hacks? Take a listen.
We're here to arrest a child sex offender. And you guys are out here honking.
Oh, they're not. No, we're pressed.
That vehicle right there is honking and impeding our investigations while we're trying to arrest a child sex offender. That's who you guys are protecting. Insane. That's what we're doing. My warrant's not for you. My warrant is not for you. I don't have this,
though. You need a real warrant.
It's insane. It's insane how you can be honking.
Yeah, you can't rationalize with these people. They don't care that you're trying to get a child rapist off the streets. They don't care. Why are we even allowing this in the first place, folks? I don't understand. I'm going to sit back and continue to watch this unravel in Minneapolis for how much longer? How much longer? The protesters aren't protesters even from the city. They've come outside the city. They've been shipped over there for a reason. You know, we sat back and we talked to Wid Lyman, who's been on the ground there for several days now. Wid telling us, no, these people, I've seen them other places. Protests all across the country. We keep hearing that these NGOs are being investigated, but come on. Come on. You see, the reason why I can't sit here and believe the we're investigating this narrative that's being spun is because all of the investigations have already been put out there. I mean, investigative journalists have been digging into these NGOs for years now. And so all of the facts are being laid out in front of you. What the heck is taking so long here? Oh, I get it. Yeah, we can't talk about ongoing investigations. That's usually what the deflection is here. They want you to cheer like you're a bunch of SEALs, but the reality of it is we're not seeing anything. These NGOs should be shaking their boots. They're not, though. They're not. They're not. Speaking of probably being a little nervous, according to reports, federal officials are investigating Renee Good's partner, not a wife, because apparently she wasn't legally married. Now they're trying to determine whether or not she was impeding a federal officer moments before Good was shot. Now, again, she's the one hyping her up in the video. Go, babe, drive. I mean, the girl was ridiculous. She should be charged. She should be charged. She's clearly instructing her to plow through an officer. Bad advice. Bad advice. But again, this was happening all across the country. It's not just that, too. It's not just this incident that you see in Minneapolis. There was another illegal alien over the weekend who decided to use his vehicle to plow into an ICE officer as well. It just keeps happening. Every week there's at least 3 to 4. And this is what we're allowing in our country. Filth. Filth. Absolute filth. Since we're going to talk about filth, let's just pivot to the next one. Let's talk about Don Lemon being an absolute scumbag. You see, Don Lemon is a dirtbag. Okay, because this guy, first off, he's going to pretend to be Christian. He's not a Christian, obviously. He's not living a Christian life. But here he is arriving to a church with a group of protesters, and he's amping it up. He's so excited. Why? Because they're trying to disrupt Sunday service. Because you can't be Christian in this country if the left-wing terrorists decide we got something we want to say. We don't want you practicing your religion. Our First Amendment overrides yours. Well, Don Lemon is an absolute coward, and he decided to go with these protesters into a church yesterday, and he really thought he was coming up a winner in all of this. Well, if you're wondering also why Don Lemon's out here doing outrageous-ish, he is because, well, he can't get views. You see, when Don Lemon was on CNN, CNN propped him up with a full team, producers wrote a script for him, a makeup crew, everyone, and he still wasn't even mediocre at his job. Now what's happening? Well, now he's man on the street. He's starting at an entry-level position, and he's trying to get clicks. So what does he have to do? Well, he has to do the most disgraceful thing possible, and that is target Christians, as if that's not already happening enough in this country. No, Don Lemon has to go and intrude on their Sunday service. And he tried to do so. He even tried to confront the pastor. The pastor, apparently, they're accusing him of possibly having ties to ICE. I don't care what his ties are. He's allowed to sit there and enjoy Sunday service and be in front of his parish, obviously, and do whatever he wants to do without being intruded. By the way, church, private property. Don Lemon shouldn't be there in the first place. If you don't believe me, though, listen to clip 6.
What do you think of this? I mean, this is unacceptable. It's shameful. It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians in worship. So,
but there were folks who will say,
I have to take care of my flock.
Okay,
my
but listen, we live in there's a constitution in the First Amendment to freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest.
Yeah. We're here to worship. We're here to worship Jesus because that's the hope of these cities. That's the hope of the world is Jesus Christ.
I want to be very respectful. Please don't push me, though.
We're here to worship Jesus.
Yes.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why we're here.
Okay.
That's what we're about.
Don't you think Jesus would be understanding
love
these folks?
We're about spreading the love of Jesus.
But did you try to talk to them as a Christian?
No one is willing to talk.
Okay.
I have to take care of my church and my family, so I asked if you actually would also leave this building.
You don't want us to
unless
chronicle
you're here to worship.
Happened.
Unless you're here to worship.
I'm always worship. I'm a Christian.
We're here to worship.
Yeah.
We're here to worship. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Whether you agree with the policies or procedures, I think I could actually be sympathetic to some of the things where there have been
challenges to fashion and decency. At the same time, these are what are called targeted interventions by ICE to keep the American people safe.
If I respectfully may interject here, I've been out reporting on a lot of these, and they're not targeted. There are no warrants signed by a judge.
Let me finish.
And they're American citizens, many of them. Most of the people that they detain don't have criminal convictions or criminal records.
I'm not going to get into the weeds.
But you should know that, though. Don't you think that's part of it?
Yes. And I could also show you many opposing sides where we're also picking up the very criminals that have put Americans in danger. And I'm not saying it's pretty. I'm not saying it's not messy. I'm not saying it couldn't be better. I'm saying this is a part of a much larger dialogue in which one administration caused a great deal of chaos and havoc and danger for American citizens, and another is trying to correct that.
Do you believe that? Honestly, okay. Let me talk to you.
Listen,
just
you're
on the
not
facts.
A journalist.
Yes, I am.
No,
I want to give you the facts.
No.
Did you know that undocumented people and immigrants commit far less crime than American citizens?
We're done here. We're done here. We're
then natural born Americans. You won't listen.
If you could ask,
I'm giving you the facts.
They're not the facts, Don.
But I can respond to you.
No, we're done.
Did Jesus stand with the oppressed?
Because he doesn't want to
listen
to
facts. They're not the facts. Don Lemon is a pile of garbage. He really, really is. He's pretending to be a journalist, and he doesn't have any of the facts. The rebuttal is, yes, they are criminals, and we have every right to deport them from our country. This is our country, not Don Lemon's. No, he could deport him. He's a Marxist pig. I'm done with these people. I'm done with all of them. We need to just completely get rid of these people from our country. They are destroying it. The fact that Don Lemon thinks he could walk into a church, pretend like he's a Christian, which he's not, because obviously he's a homosexual, and go out there and continue to act this way is absolutely disgraceful. It's absolutely disgraceful. He doesn't have a right to be there. It's private property. Get out. Get out. See, if you can't sit there and be this brave, by the way, he would never do this at a mosque, by the way. Would any of them walk into a mosque and try this nonsense? Absolutely not. You know why? Because they're cowards. They're cowards. I'm so fed up with this, folks. I'm so fed up with people like Don Lemon who think they're privileged and they have to lecture the rest of us on all their liberal ideas when they're all failed ideas. These people do not belong in our country, and we need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of them. By the way, Don Lemon was actually celebrating when he saw a child was actually forced to leave service and was really upset about the massive protests that took place in Clip 7. Take a listen.
Watch this guy here. Look, he's hugging his kid. And, you know, I've imagined it's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here. But again, careful. It's very slippery right here.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here. But that's what really, careful, please. Really slippery. Not kidding. That's what protesting is about. And so
that's what protesting is about. It's about actually making little kids run out of church service crying. It's to cause them trauma. It's to cause them trauma. Thankfully, Don Lemon's not breeding. That's the only good news here that I have for you guys today. But the reality of it is something needs to be done about this. This cannot be the regular occurrence. We can't allow this to keep happening. The DOJ says they're investigating, but what else do you need to investigate? You see it right there. You see it right there. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we've just extended that free hat deal till midnight tonight. So when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and you snatch anything up on the website right now, no minimum required, you're going to get that free hat that you see on your screen. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. This is a free $30 value that you get with every purchase right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. It was a popular sale, so we've extended it. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
Can feel the power of Methylene Blue. Don't let the evil power win. Order now on thealexjonesstore.com.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
A creeping mass with an eerie tone smiles on the surface with intentions unknown. Step past the light where truth's overthrown. Welcome, my friend, to the Info Zone.
An oozing mass of liars and snakes bought and paid for. Truth bends and breaks. It inches in close, steals freedoms away, drowns you in chemicals to make you obey.
I woke up this morning, felt the fire turn. Mind clear, feel the power burn. Found the truth in a place that delivers the force. Real strength, real fuel from the source. Made the lean blue light my mind. Ultimate power, feeling strong and prime. Seymour's gummies, open the door. Get your strength back at Alex Jones' store.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there. Concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven, it's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here, and a lot we're going to catch you up on. All right, folks. Well, Venezuela, obviously, still something you want to keep your eye on, given the fact that President Trump is still trying to figure out how to move forward after, you know, the arrest of Nicolas Maduro. And it's interesting because I expected, you know, they all claimed there was a president that was elected in Venezuela, and that she was going to be placed. I mean, we all kind of assumed that she was going to be next because she apparently won. Everyone agreed that she had won the election. But that's not the case, because the vice president of Venezuela has now moved into the presidency. Delcy Rodriguez is now running Venezuela, and President Trump apparently has been speaking with her. But the interesting part in all of this, she's been on the DEA's radar, according to Headline USA, and she has quite the interesting background. Joining me to discuss is Ken Silva. He's one of the incredible editors over at Headline USA, and he's got a ton of stories to catch up on. This will be the first, though. Ken, always great having you on the program, of course. I saw this and thought it was quite strange, given her background, and I think a lot of Venezuelans were excited because, obviously, Nicolas Maduro is a dictator. They thought he was out of here, and it doesn't seem to be that way. There seems to be some hangover with the VP now being the acting president of Venezuela. What's the latest going on over there?
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks a lot for having me. And, you know, this really isn't surprising that Delcy Rodriguez is also under investigation for drug trafficking, considering that She was pretty much Maduro's right-hand woman. I mean, I get the sense that she was kind of like almost as Dick Cheney. She was actually in charge of the Bolivarian National Intelligence Service, which is kind of like the Venezuelans' version of the KGB or the FBI. I mean, she oversaw the arrest of dissidents, disappearing people, throwing them in prison and torturing them. She's, you know, a very ruthless woman. And of course, you know, the AP released documents showing that she has been on the DEA's radar for years. An informant linked her to drug trafficking in a Caribbean island, or money laundering to wash the proceeds of drug trafficking. Her name has been surfaced in nearly a dozen DEA investigations. You know, so again, this isn't really surprising. I think even people who support what Trump did with Maduro understand that the idea that we did this for drug trafficking reasons is a pretty flimsy pretext. Venezuela, you know, they're not a big fentanyl trafficking hub. They mostly sent to America cocaine, which is kind of like a rich person's drug. Mostly people in like New York City and D.C. use it to party and stay up late at night. I think, you know, the move against Maduro was for, you know, geopolitical reasons. Of course, Venezuela's allies with Russia and Iran and Cuba. And the Trump administration is looking for someone they can do business with and perhaps open it up to American oil company investment. Whether Rodriguez is that person remains to be seen. Like I said, she is a pretty ruthless person committed to the left-wing socialist cause. A lot of people think that she might be just trying to bide her time. Maybe she'll allow some oil to flow to the U.S., release a few prisoners, just hoping that Trump will eventually get distracted and move on to something else. And of course, the oil companies feel this way, too. They're pretty hesitant to get in bed with this same regime. The Wall Street Journal reported this morning that actually the head of ConocoPhillips' Venezuelan operations was kidnapped in Venezuela in early, 2002. And when the Hugo Chavez regime expropriated all of ConocoPhillips' equipment and resources, they stole about $12 billion. The company has been trying to get that back ever since. And Trump recently said, like, oh, well, you know, we're not focused on the past. We want to do business moving forward. But if you're the oil companies, you're not going to feel too good about that. And you might not want to get in bed with the same regime that originally stole from you. So all these are, still very much open questions as to whether actually Trump's move is going to succeed in his ultimate goals.
Yeah, Ken, I kind of want to get your take on this, too, because, you know, a lot of people believe that we were going to Venezuela, obviously not for the drugs, as you discussed earlier. It doesn't really make any sense. You could sit there and make it like a pretext, but the reality of it is that never really seemed to be the truth. And so a lot of people pivoted and thought it was due to the oil. But why do you think we did all of this? Because, again, it doesn't seem like the Venezuelan people are going to get a good leader that they elected. I mean, Machado is the woman who was elected. I mean, they told us all that she was elected, that he stole the elections. So how come they haven't moved her into that slot?
Well, Trump himself said that the people, you know, she doesn't have the support. So, you know, we were told that she won by a landslide. I'm not sure that's the case. I wouldn't trust Western media, to be frank. Again, I think, you know, Maduro was pretty staunchly anti-U.S. and we thought that maybe getting rid of him, we could move into somebody else who's willing to do business. This also has to do with, you know, cutting off oil to Cuba, putting more pressure on Russia and Iran. I think these are probably the ultimate ends. These are very much open questions as to whether it'll actually succeed, though, because, you know, there is something called the rally around the flag effect, where if a foreign country is attacking you, like imagine China attacked America while Joe Biden was the president, we wouldn't be rooting for China. We'd rally around Joe Biden. And I think, you know, there is the risk that that's what America is doing by, you know, blowing up fishermen and doing these kind of operations. You're going to spark nationalism in Venezuela, where even though they don't like the socialist regime, they're going to rally around it because they don't like the foreign meddling. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're keeping our eye on that to see how it develops. But obviously, this is all very concerning. I want to switch gears a little bit and bring it back to the homeland, to Florida. Ryan Ruth is an individual who obviously has been convicted of trying to assassinate President Donald J. Trump. And I know the DOJ is seeking life in prison. His attorneys are asking for 20 years in prison. What's the latest on that front?
Yeah, his sentencing is coming up on February 4th, so just in about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And now both parties are arguing what the punishment should be. We've talked about this a lot where Ryan Ruth, he represented himself during the trial. It was really a disaster for him. He didn't know how to properly cross-examine any of the witnesses. I think the jury returned with a guilty verdict in about 25 minutes, which for a case of that magnitude is really extraordinary. So he's finally wisened up a little bit. He's got an attorney who made a pretty interesting appeal at saying, he's going to be 80 by the time he gets out of jail if he's only sentenced for 20 years. Still, the magnitude of this crime, the DOJ is asking for life. And I got to imagine that's probably what he's going to get is a life sentence. Another issue, though, here is where is he going to be incarcerated? His sister actually filed a letter asking him to be in a North Carolina federal facility that has a minimum security prison. And that's going to boil down to whether or not Judge Cannon agrees to slap terrorism enhancements on what he did. If the terrorism charges stick, he could be going to a Supermax in Florence or Terre Haute. And, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. That's where you're on lockdown for 23 hours a day in solitary confinement in some of the harshest conditions in America. And for an extroverted kind of narcissistic guy like Ryan Ruth, I got to imagine that would be kind of the straw that breaks the camel's back and makes him go totally insane. So I think there is an argument, he's almost a senior citizen. He needs mental health. And frankly, I want to know what this guy knows. What was he doing in Ukraine? Who were some of the intelligence people that he might have been connected with? If he's thrown in a Supermax, he's not going to be available for media interviews or even to talk to anybody. I think you're limited to one phone call a month. So maybe for public disclosure, it would be better if he was put in more of a conventional facility.
Yeah, and he's definitely somebody I would love to speak to because I just don't understand, like you said, what his foreign ties were to all of this. And I think it's worth asking him those questions. So let's hope that you at least get the opportunity to do just that, because you've been following this case extensively. So that would be great for you. I want to switch over, though, to the FBI as well, because the FBI, as many of our audience members recall, Kash Patel, the FBI director, came out earlier last year and said that the FBI was going to sever ties with the ADL because the ADL had targeted Charlie Kirk and others. But they were weaponizing their powers to kind of flag hate speech. And they were widely, as one would assume, using the term hate speech to go after their opponents and putting them on lists that they shouldn't be on in the first place. But so Kash Patel was fired up about that and did cut off, he said he was cutting off ties with the ADL. Well, in clip 12, we're going to listen to the ADL CEO, Jonathan Greenbalt, who apparently is someone who's out here right now saying, oh, no, we're actually still working with the FBI. Take a listen.
So number one, we measure and track. Number two, we monitor and disrupt. We have a whole apparatus. I have 40 analysts working full time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, monitoring extremists. We monitor them online, social media, messaging apps, video games, cryptocurrency, podcasts, short-form video, Wikipedia, LLMs. We monitor these people and we share the intelligence with the FBI.
All right, so that's obviously Greenblatt, who's saying just that he's working with the agency. And it's deeply concerning, Ken, because they told us they weren't working together. So why does the ADL CEO seem to think that they are?
Yeah, well, I was pretty skeptical of Kash Patel's announcement that he cut ties with the ADL last year over, including Turning Point USA as like a hate group, which is totally absurd. Yeah. But Patel painted the ADL-FBI relationship as a creation of former director James Comey, when the relationship is much deeper and goes decades farther back than with Comey. It goes all the way back to the 60s when J. Edgar Hoover ordered all his field offices to establish relationships with the ADL. Basically, what the ADL does for the FBI is allows it to circumvent constitutional protections. So as flimsy as these protections are, if the FBI wants to, say, send an informant into a Catholic church, they need the approval of the director. It needs to be run up all the way to the attorney general. There's a lot of paperwork, a lot of red tape in such an operation. That's not the case if they just have the ADL as a cutout, sending, you know, basically private citizens into churches, right-wing groups, other organizations. They can spy all they want and then just provide the intelligence to the FBI. And that's what they've been doing pretty much for decades. There's been ADL employees who pose as like undercover Nazis in the 90s. Like, this is a very well-documented history. And, you know, sure enough, when Patel claimed to cut ties, a couple months later, we now have the CEO, Jonathan Greenblatt, saying otherwise. You know, the FBI, you know, there's a possibility that Greenblatt was just trying to garner more donations and that the relationship really was severed, but the Bureau did not respond to my request for comments. So I'm pretty sure the relationship's still there. Now, last thing I want to say about this is, you know, in that clip, I don't think you played the part where he actually talks about the ADL notifying the FBI about the Turtle Island Liberation Front, which was this group that the FBI claimed was plotting to bomb businesses on New Year's Eve. Well, Greenblatt said that he briefed the FBI on this group on December 10th, and the group was arrested 5 days later. But of course, as we discussed previously on your show, that group had already been infiltrated by at least one paid operative and an undercover agent. Now, Greenblatt talks about this group also like kind of vandalizing a synagogue in late November. And my question is, was the FBI informant or was the FBI undercover agent involved in that vandalism? I mean, that would be a huge story that I would hope some left-wing journalists might be able to run down. I've reached out to the synagogue and some of the groups involved in that alleged vandalism to see, you know, was the informant there? Was the undercover agent there? And, you know, they didn't respond to me, but maybe a journalist with more inroads with the left-wing groups might be able to, you know, hunt that story down.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one to hear about. Again, I mean, Ken, it's funny when you say that you've reached out to the FBI for comment and they didn't respond. I always say the FBI is by far one of the worst comms teams in this whole country, I guess I'll say at this point. DHS does an incredible job of getting back, the Pentagon as well. But for some reason, the FBI doesn't want to respond to things. And then they get mad at any type of criticism to go after people with. And it's so infuriating that we make these attempts to try to reach out to hear their side of things, but they don't want to respond. I know that they just recently named a new deputy director. Your thoughts just personally on that before we move on to the next topic?
Well, I know you've done a lot of reporting on that. I'm not too familiar with the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, apparently he managed to skirt some of the major controversies that plagued the Bureau during the Biden administration. I do find it odd that we still have co-FBI directors because, of course, Andrew Bailey was appointed as Dan Bongino's co-director last year. I guess they want to get some guys with actual decades of FBI experience. But other than that, you know, doesn't make for good radio, but I don't really have an opinion of this guy. I haven't looked into him too deeply.
Yeah. We're still waiting to hear more on that front because I'm hearing that there's going to be a report coming out later this week. And I tried reaching out for them, the FBI itself, for comment. Unfortunately, we didn't get anywhere with that, but I'll wait till that report drops. I want to get to this, though. I want to get to the Fed because obviously we heard last week that Fed Chairman Jerome Powell was going to be under investigation. It looks like that has kind of evolved a little bit. He's obviously aware he's under investigation, has hired legal counsel. What's going on over there?
Yeah, so we now know that Jerome Powell has hired outside counsel at a firm. It's called Williams & Connolly. It's just got a pretty interesting history of representing a number of very powerful figures from the Obamas, the Clintons, George W. Bush. I think they got on the map in the 80s when they represented Ali North in the Iran-Contra scandal. And most recently, they were counsel for Perkins Coie during the whole fiasco where Trump tried to suspend their security clearance over their involvement in Russiagate. They were eventually able to overturn that with the help of Williams and Connolly. I wouldn't characterize this as your typical corrupt deep state law firm, though. I did look into them, and they have a policy where they refuse to hire former prosecutors or DOJ's attorneys. They only draw from defense attorneys, which I think is good. It avoids kind of that revolving door corruption where you have the DOJ attorneys going back and forth between these various private practices. So I think that's probably a mark in favor of this firm. But the bigger story is that Jerome Powell hired this firm in anticipation of a criminal investigation. This was before the subpoenas even were issued. And that matters because the Washington Post reported Saturday that this whole inquiry into the Federal Reserve's renovation project was a non-criminal inquiry. You had attorneys with the DOJ just asking for various, you know, costs about what this project is going to end up costing the taxpayers. And the Fed was totally stonewalling them, not even asking basic questions. And that's when they finally issued subpoenas. But of course, it looks like Jerome Powell was prepared for that, already lawyering up. So the issue is the Federal Reserve its own private little fiefdom? Does it get to just totally ignore government oversight and basic questions about how it's using public funds? Of course, you know, the old saying is, you know, it's neither federal nor does it have any reserves. It's kind of like representing the private banking cartels. That's going to really be put to the test in this case. You know, is it its own private little entity that's not accountable to our democratically elected president? It sure looks like that. You know, that's the 100-plus-year history of the Fed, but Trump's really going to put that to the test.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing just that. I know he's going to for sure. And we've all been very frustrated with the Fed chair. So whatever, can you just get him out faster? I'm okay with it at this point. Ken Silva, thank you for joining us. As always, we're breaking down these stories. You do an incredible job over at Headline USA. So folks, head on over there. Make sure you guys follow. Also on X, JD_cashless. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we got our eyes right now in Davos. Why? Well, it looks like the Treasury Secretary is going to be speaking there in just a few moments. When Scott Bessent does, we'll bring it straight to you, of course. But we've got our eyes as to what's happening in Davos, because that is the future. That is the future. All right, we're following a couple other stories right now as well. We'll keep it. Whenever that begins, we'll bring it right to you. But, you know, we're following a couple other stories right now as well. So let's get to that. I think it's really, really interesting that we've seen some type of transitions lately. Let's start off with this. I want to talk about the sheriff over in Polk County, Florida, Grady Judd. In clip 10, he's actually one of my favorite sheriffs. When I worked in local news in Florida, I had the pleasure of having to work with his team, and they are by far the best. Sheriff Grady Judd is a no BS sheriff, and I love him for it. I truly, truly do. When it comes to the media, though, if they decide to use verbs, or let's just say any type of term, to lessen what illegal invaders are, well, he'll step in and he'll remind you. And he did just that, because he has been doing his very best to arrest and work with ICE when they do find illegals living in their county. And one journalist, decided to ask the sheriff about that. And take a listen to his response in 10.
Undocumented immigrants have been transferred.
Well, I don't call them undocumented immigrants. I call them illegal immigrants, because that's what they are. The reason they're not documented is they're not legal. Okay, they're illegal immigrants. 74% of the illegal immigrants that we've detained have had criminal charges against them. Okay, the other 26% were riding with them. Okay. So when we stop a car, we run a warrants check on everybody in the car. When there is a call for service, we run a warrants check on the victim, the suspect, and all the witnesses, okay? We call that 26% collateral. But three out of four of them have committed another criminal charge.
The facts, they're inconvenient facts. They don't like those facts. If they don't like the facts, they'll rewrite their facts and they'll try to push it as much as they can. But when you push back, what you're going to see in clip 9, like Christine Ohm did over on Face the Nation yesterday, they don't know what to say. Because honestly, folks, to sit here and advocate for criminals is insane. And it's just a losing argument that the media and Democrats always take sides with. Take a listen to clip 9 and how Christine Ohm shut it down.
About 70% of them have committed or have charges against them on violent crimes and crimes that they are charged with or have been convicted of that have come from other countries that are here illegally, first of all, and then they have committed a criminal act while they've been here or in their home countries as well.
But it's not 70%.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is.
70% of everyone
you guys
have
keep changing
has...
your percentage. You pick and choose what numbers you think work, but that is the facts, is that 70% of the people that we have detained have charges against them or have been convicted of charges, and they need to be brought to justice. And we're going to keep doing that no matter how much you guys keep lying and don't tell the public the truth. It absolutely is that these law enforcement officers are out there every day doing the work to protect the American people, and they will keep doing that because they believe in enforcing the law, which is exactly what President Trump has charged them with.
No, she said it's not 70%. But did she have a rebuttal? Did she have the actual numbers? No, she didn't. See, this is what they're trying to do. They just try to sit there and say, oh, that's not true. But they don't have the actual facts. The woman who runs DHS, you'd think she'd have the numbers. And obviously she does, because there was no rebuttal there. There was no rebuttal. They're hoping you're just as stupid as they are. That's what's going on here. They hope they can get away with sitting there and just saying, that's not true. They're not all criminals. But what does that mean? They can't tell you. They never can. Folks, just so you know, we extended the sale over at thealexjonesstore.com. When you make a purchase over at the shop, you're going to get this free hat. This deal is going to now end at midnight. It is obviously one of your favorite sales, and so we've extended that. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com to get this limited edition, never before sold InfoWars hat. No minimum spending required. So that means you could buy anything over the shop and you're going to get this hat for free. That sale is ending tonight at midnight. So make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and snag it before it is too late. Again, guys, this is a $30 value, yours for free when you go make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. And we appreciate you for supporting us and helping us stay up and running. And that is the reason why we're giving you this free hat when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. That hat sale, that free hat, it's ending at midnight. So head on over there and do that just now. You're not going to miss out on that. Also, if you haven't done so already, I don't know what you're waiting on. AlexJonesApp.com. That's how you download the app. You stay in touch with us and you stay in the know. Head on over. AlexJonesApp.com. Androids, Apple phones, all are welcome over at AlexJonesApp.com. All right, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Buckle up. Second hour of the show kicking off in just a few moments.
Now you hobbits can feel the power of Metheline Blue.
Let the evil power win. Order now on thealexjonesstore.com.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
A creeping mass with an eerie tone smiles on the surface with intentions unknown. Step past the light where truth's overthrown. Welcome, my friend, to the Info Zone.
An oozing mass of liars and snakes bought and paid for. Truth bends and breaks. It inches in close, steals freedoms away, drowns you in chemicals to make you obey.
I woke up this morning, felt the fire turn. Mind clear, feel the power burn. Found the truth in a place that delivers the force. Real strength, real fuel from the source. Methylene Blue, light my mind. Ultimate power, feeling strong and prime. Seymour Scummies.
Alex Jones Store.